NASCAR on Prime lights up Music City. Who's got what it takes to tackle the concrete at Nashville Super Speedway and walk away with NASCAR's coolest trophy? Stream the NASCAR Cup Series at Nashville, Sunday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern, where music meets motorsports, only on Prime.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
My second week working the night shift at a rural gas station seemed like it would be just another uneventful stretch of hours. The station was situated in the middle of nowhere, surrounded by dense woods and only a narrow road connecting it to the nearest town. It was the kind of place where you rarely saw more than a handful of customers during the entire night. I was used to the isolation, the quiet, and the routine. That night, the air was unusually still, and the sky was pitch black, devoid of stars. I went about my tasks, filling the cooler with drinks, wiping down the counters, and checking the inventory. Around midnight, I decided to step outside for a break. The cool night air felt refreshing, but there was an eerie silence that made me uneasy. I scanned the empty road, half expecting to see headlights, but there was nothing. Just as I turned to go back inside, I heard the faint sound of an engine. A beat-up old car emerged from the darkness, its headlights cutting through the gloom. It pulled into the station and stopped at the farthest pump. I watched as the driver, a middle-aged man with disheveled hair and a weary expression, got out of the car. He looked around nervously before making his way to the door. "Evening," he said with a forced smile. "Can you fill her up for me?" "Sure thing," I replied, trying to sound cheerful. "Regular unleaded?" He nodded and handed me a few crumpled bills. As I started the pump, I couldn't shake off the feeling that something was off about this guy. He kept glancing around, his eyes darting to the woods and back to the road. I finished filling his tank and went back inside to ring him up. While I processed the transaction, he hovered near the door, peering outside as if expecting someone to appear. The tension in the air was palpable. I handed him his change, and he muttered a quick thank you before hurrying back to his car. He started the engine and drove off, disappearing into the darkness as quickly as he had arrived. A few minutes later, I heard a loud crash. My heart skipped a beat, and I ran outside to see what had happened. The road was empty, but I could see faint tire tracks leading off into the woods. I grabbed a flashlight and followed the tracks, my pulse quickening with every step. The beam of light cut through the trees, and I soon found the car, its front end wrapped around a tree. The driver was slumped over the steering wheel, unconscious but still breathing. I quickly called 911 and gave them the location. As I waited for help to arrive, I couldn't help but feel a growing sense of dread. The woods were silent, too silent, and I had the unsettling feeling that we were being watched. I glanced around nervously, shining the flashlight into the shadows, but saw nothing. The paramedics arrived and took the man to the hospital. The police officer who responded to the call stayed behind to get my statement. Even he seemed unnerved by the situation. "Did he say anything to you?" officer asked. "Just asked for a fill-up and seemed really jumpy," I replied. Kept looking around like he was scared of something, The officer nodded and made a few notes. We'll look into it. Might have been trying to get away from someone or something. As the night went on, I tried to put the incident out of my mind and focus on my work. But the feeling of unease lingered. I couldn't stop thinking about the man and what might have been chasing him. The hours dragged by, and the station remained empty, the silence oppressive. Around 3 a.m., I heard the sound of footsteps outside. My heart raced as I peered out the window. There was no one there. I grabbed the flashlight and cautiously stepped outside. The air was thick with tension, and the darkness seemed to press in on me. I shone the flashlight around the parking lot, the beam cutting through the night, but saw nothing. Just as I was about to go back inside, I heard a whisper. It was faint, almost indistinguishable from the rustling of the leaves, but it sent a chill down my spine. I turned slowly, the flashlight shaking in my hand, and saw a figure standing at the edge of the woods. It was the man from the car, his eyes wide with fear. "Help me," he whispered, his voice barely audible. I froze, my mind racing. He shouldn't have been there. He was supposed to be at the hospital. I took a step forward, and he vanished into the shadows. Panic set in, and I ran back inside, locking the door behind me. I tried to calm myself down, telling myself it was just my imagination, but the fear was overwhelming. I called the officer and told him what I had seen. He arrived within minutes, but by then, the figure was gone. We searched the area together, but there was no sign of the man. "You're sure it was him?" the officer asked, his flashlight sweeping through the trees. "Positive," I replied, my voice trembling. He looked right at me. The officer sighed and shook his head. "Let's get you back inside. I'll stay with you for the rest of your shift." We returned to the station, and the officer kept a close watch on the parking lot. The rest of the night passed without incident, but the sense of dread never left me. As the sun rose, I felt a mixture of relief and exhaustion. I never saw the man again, and the officer couldn't find any record of him at the hospital. It was as if he had vanished into thin air. I quit the job a few days later, unable to shake the feeling that something was watching me, waiting in the shadows. Even now, years later, I can't drive past that gas station without feeling a chill. The memory of that night haunts me, and I still wonder what really happened to that man and why he was so terrified. The darkness of those woods holds secrets that I hope to never uncover.
NASCAR on Prime lights up Music City. Who's got what it takes to tackle the concrete at Nashville Super Speedway and walk away with NASCAR's coolest trophy? Stream the NASCAR Cup Series at Nashville, Sunday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern, where music meets motorsports, only on Prime.
Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Right now, get a free select tool when you buy the Craftsman V20 2-Pack Battery Kit. Whether it's the backyard, the bathroom, or beyond, Craftsman has the tools to help you power through and get the project done right. Because DIYing is unpredictable, but your tools shouldn't be. Shop Craftsman at Lowe's today. Valid through 6/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
I had just started my shift at the gas station in our quiet suburban town. It was one of those nights where everything seemed perfectly normal. The fluorescent lights buzzed softly, the shelves were stocked, and the coffee machine gurgled in the background. I had been working the night shift for a few months, and it had become routine. It was usually quiet, with a few regulars stopping by for gas or a midnight snack. That night, the air felt different, thicker, almost. It was around midnight when I first noticed the unusual stillness outside. The occasional car would pass by, but for the most part, the roads were empty. The gas station sat on the corner of a quiet intersection, surrounded by dark, empty streets and rows of closed shops. The only light came from the gas station's neon sign, casting an eerie glow on the pavement. As I was restocking the shelves, I heard the sound of footsteps outside. I glanced at the security monitor and saw a figure standing just outside the door, partially hidden in the shadows. My heart skipped a beat. It was rare to see anyone walking around this late, especially someone who wasn't headed straight for their car. The figure stood there for a moment, then moved out of the camera's view. I walked over to the window and peered outside. The figure was gone. I shook my head, trying to dismiss the unease that was creeping up my spine. It was probably just someone taking a shortcut, I told myself. But the feeling of being watched lingered. Around 2 a.m., the gas station was completely empty. I decided to take a break and make myself a cup of coffee. As I poured the steaming liquid into my cup, the sound of the bell above the door startled me. I turned quickly, spilling some coffee on the counter. A man had entered, looking disheveled and anxious. His eyes darted around the store before settling on me. "Evening," I said, trying to keep my voice steady. "Can I help you with something?" He didn't respond right away. Instead, he walked slowly down one of the aisles, occasionally glancing over his shoulder. There was something off about him, something that set all my internal alarms ringing. "Do you have any, cigarettes?" he finally asked, his voice shaky. "Yeah, they're behind the counter," I replied, moving back to the register. "Which kind do you want?" He named a brand, and I turned to grab them. When I turned back, he was standing much closer than before. The hairs on the back of my neck stood up. I rang up the cigarettes and handed them to him, trying to keep my distance. "Thanks," he muttered, shoving some crumpled bills on the counter. He took the cigarettes and walked out, glancing back one last time before disappearing into the night. I let out a breath I hadn't realized I was holding. Something about the encounter had shaken me more than it should have. I chalked it up to the late hour and tried to focus on my tasks. But the uneasy feeling persisted. An hour later, I was in the back room checking inventory when I heard a loud crash. My heart pounded as I rushed to the front of the store. One of the windows had been shattered, and the man from earlier was climbing through the broken glass. Panic surged through me. I grabbed the phone to call the police, but he was on me in an instant, knocking it out of my hand. "Don't move," he hissed, his eyes wild and desperate. He brandished a knife, and I raised my hands, trying to keep calm. "Take whatever you want," I said, my voice trembling. "Just don't hurt me." He didn't seem to hear me. His eyes darted around the store, and he seemed more agitated by the second. "Where is it?" he demanded, waving the knife menacingly. "Where's what?" I asked, trying to buy time. "The money." "Where do you keep the money?" "It's in the register," I said, pointing. "Take it, it's all yours." He moved towards the register, and I saw my chance. I bolted for the door, but he was faster. He grabbed me by the arm and yanked me back, the knife pressed against my throat. "You're not going anywhere," he growled. My mind raced. I needed to find a way out of this. Suddenly, I remembered the silent alarm button under the counter. If I could just reach it. "Okay, okay," I said, trying to keep my voice steady. "I'll get you the money. Just let me go." He pushed me towards the counter, keeping the knife against my back. I moved slowly, my hand inching towards the alarm button. As I reached under the counter, he shoved me again, harder this time. "Hurry up." I pressed the button, hoping he hadn't noticed. I opened the register and started handing him the cash. He grabbed the money, his eyes darting around nervously. "Don't try anything," he warned. "I'll be watching." He backed towards the broken window, keeping the knife pointed at me. Then he turned and ran, disappearing into the night. I stood there, shaking, until the sound of sirens filled the air. The police arrived moments later, and I collapsed into a chair, relief washing over me. A police officer took my statement. "You did the right thing," he said, patting my shoulder. "We'll catch him." The rest of the night was a blur. The police secured the area, and I gave them all the information I could. As the sun rose, I felt a strange mix of exhaustion and relief. The man was still out there, but I was safe for now. I never saw him again, but the fear he instilled in me lingered. Working the night shift at the gas station never felt the same. Every noise, every shadow made my heart race. I eventually quit, unable to shake the feeling that he might come back. I had always liked the peace and solitude of working the night shift. There was something calming about the quiet hours, the steady hum of the gas station lights, and the occasional car pulling in for a quick refill. That night, however, was different. There was an underlying sense of unease that I couldn't shake, a feeling that something wasn't quite right. It was around 2 a.m. when it started. I was wiping down the counter, my mind wandering, when I noticed a car pull in. It was an old, beat-up sedan, the kind you'd expect to see in a horror movie. The driver, a woman in her mid-30s, got out and walked towards the store. Her clothes were disheveled, and her eyes darted around nervously. "Evening," I said, trying to sound casual. "Need some gas?" She didn't respond. Instead, she walked straight past me and into the store, heading towards the back. I watched her, puzzled. It wasn't unusual for people to act strange in the middle of the night, but something about her behavior set off alarm bells in my head. "Can I help you find something?" I called out, but she ignored me. I decided to give her some space, hoping she'd find whatever she was looking for and leave. But minutes passed, and she didn't come back. I walked to the back of the store, my footsteps echoing in the silence. "Ma'am?" I called out, peering down the aisle. She wasn't there. I checked the bathrooms, the storage room, and even the small office at the back. She was nowhere to be found. I walked back to the front of the store, scratching my head. Her car was still there, parked at the pump, but she had vanished. I couldn't figure out where she could have gone. The only other door was the emergency exit, and the alarm would have gone off if she'd used it. Just as I was about to call the police, I heard a noise behind me. It was a soft, almost imperceptible whisper, like someone trying to speak but not wanting to be heard. I turned around slowly, my heart pounding in my chest. "Who's there?" I demanded, my voice trembling. There was no answer, just the same whispering, growing louder. I walked towards the sound, my hands shaking. As I rounded the corner, I saw her. She was standing in the middle of the aisle, her back to me, muttering to herself. "Ma'am, are you okay?" I asked, trying to keep my voice steady. She turned around slowly, her eyes wide and unblinking. "He's coming," she whispered, her voice barely audible. "He's coming for me." "Who's coming?" I asked, but she didn't answer. She turned and ran out of the store, leaving me standing there, confused and scared. I watched her drive away, her taillights disappearing into the darkness. I locked the door and called the police, telling them about the strange encounter. They promised to send someone over to check things out, but I knew it would be a while before they arrived. I tried to shake off the feeling of unease and went back to my tasks, but I couldn't concentrate. Every little noise made me jump, and I kept looking over my shoulder, expecting to see her standing there, whispering those same chilling words. About an hour later, I heard a car pull in. I looked up, expecting to see the police, but it was a different car. A sleek, black SUV. The windows were tinted, and I couldn't see who was inside. The driver didn't get out. They just sat there, the engine running, headlights illuminating the front of the store. I waited, my heart racing. Minutes passed, but the driver didn't move. I decided to call the police again, but before I could pick up the phone, the SUV's door opened, and a man stepped out. He was tall, wearing a dark suit, and moved with a deliberate, almost menacing grace. He walked towards the store, and I felt a chill run down my spine. I locked the door and stood behind the counter, my hands trembling. "Can I help you?" I asked, my voice shaky. He didn't answer. He just stared at me, his eyes cold and unfeeling. "I'm looking for someone," he said finally, his voice low and threatening. "There was a woman here earlier," I stammered. "She left about an hour ago." He nodded slowly, his gaze never leaving mine. "Did she say anything to you?" She said someone was coming for her," I replied, my voice barely above a whisper. He smiled, but it wasn't a kind smile. It was the smile of a predator who had just found his prey. "Thank you," he said, turning to leave. "You've been very helpful." He walked out, got back into his SUV, and drove away. I stood there, frozen in fear, wondering what I had just witnessed. The police arrived a few minutes later, and I told them everything. They took my statement and promised to investigate, but I knew they wouldn't find anything. I finished my shift in a daze, my mind racing. Who was that man? What had happened to the woman? I couldn't shake the feeling that I had just witnessed something truly evil, something beyond my understanding. I never thought my first night shift in an old gas station could be anything but boring. I had heard the rumors about the place being haunted, but I never put much stock in ghost stories. The gas station was located on the outskirts of town, a relic from the 1950s with its neon sign that flickered more than it shone. As I parked my car and walked towards the entrance, I couldn't shake off the eerie feeling that settled in the pit of my stomach. The inside of the gas station was dimly lit, the fluorescent lights casting long shadows that seemed to dance on the walls. The first few hours passed uneventfully. I busied myself with stocking shelves, cleaning the counter, and occasionally serving the rare late-night customer. Around midnight, things started to change. It began with the lights. They flickered rapidly, casting the entire station into brief moments of darkness. I glanced at the old clock on the wall. It was just after midnight. A cold draft swept through the store, making the hair on the back of my neck stand up. I checked the doors and windows, but everything was securely shut. I tried to brush it off as a draft, maybe from an old ventilation system, but the feeling of being watched persisted. I decided to take a break and stepped outside to get some fresh air. The night was eerily quiet, the only sound the distant hum of the highway. As I stood there, I saw something out of the corner of my eye, a shadowy figure standing by the gas pumps. My heart skipped a beat. I turned my head fully, but there was no one there. Just the flickering neon lights and the empty lot. Shaking my head, I went back inside. The flickering lights seemed more aggressive now, almost like they were trying to tell me something. I returned to my tasks, trying to ignore the growing sense of unease. As I was stacking some cans on a shelf, I heard a faint whisper. It was so soft I almost missed it. I froze, listening intently. The whisper came again, slightly louder this time, but I couldn't make out the words. "Hello?" I called out, my voice sounding too loud in the empty store. There was no reply. I walked around the store, checking every aisle, but found no one. Returning to the counter, I tried to focus on my work, but the whispering continued, growing more persistent. It felt like someone was trying to get my attention. Then, the temperature dropped suddenly. I could see my breath fogging up in front of me. Panic started to set in. I remembered the stories about this place, about the former worker who had died here under mysterious circumstances. Could it be true? As I stood there, the whispers grew louder, almost desperate. I felt a presence behind me and turned slowly. Standing in the middle of the store was a translucent figure. It was a man, dressed in old-fashioned overalls, his face contorted in an expression of sorrow. I blinked, hoping I was imagining things, but he was still there, his eyes fixed on mine. I wanted to run, but my feet felt glued to the floor. The figure raised his hand, pointing towards the back room. His lips moved, but no sound came out. Gathering my courage, I forced myself to move. As I approached the back room, the figure followed me, his presence like a cold shadow. The back room was filled with old supplies and boxes. The figure pointed to a corner, and I noticed a loose floorboard. With trembling hands, I pried it open. Inside was an old, dusty journal. I picked it up and opened it, the pages filled with the writings of the former worker. He detailed strange occurrences, just like the ones I had experienced, and his growing fear of a dark presence that seemed to haunt the gas station. Suddenly, the whispers turned into a wail, a sound of pure anguish that filled the room. The figure reached out to touch my shoulder, and I felt an icy chill spread through my body. He seemed to be trying to convey something, a warning perhaps. Then, as quickly as he had appeared, he vanished, leaving me alone in the silent room. I spent the rest of my shift in a state of heightened alertness, the journal clutched in my hands. The sun finally rose, bringing with it a sense of relief. As I locked up and walked to my car, I glanced back at the gas station. The neon sign flickered once more, and I saw the figure standing at the window, watching me. I never returned to that gas station. I handed in my resignation the next day, leaving the journal with the manager. Whether they believed me or not, I knew what I had experienced. The ghost of the former worker was trapped there, and his presence would haunt that place forever.
NASCAR on Prime lights up Music City. Who's got what it takes to tackle the concrete at Nashville Super Speedway and walk away with NASCAR's coolest trophy? Stream the NASCAR Cup Series at Nashville, Sunday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern, where music meets motorsports, only on Prime.
Don't you deserve a Medicare plan you can count on? Well, you can count on a Medicare Advantage plan from United Healthcare. Enjoy reliable coverage and low out-of-pocket costs with a Medicare Advantage plan from United Healthcare. And if you have a chronic condition like diabetes, chronic heart failure, or a cardiovascular disorder, you may qualify for a United Healthcare Complete Care plan with plans that fit your life today and as your needs change tomorrow. Find out more about United Healthcare plans at uhc.com/Medicare.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.